What music is that? That's her phone?
Yeah.
Thing that he's on?
Yeah.
Can you bring me the home phone? I want to call somebody. All right, bring me the home phone. Hi, where's the phone? I just want to call because Uncle Samson said that today is the yard set of Shabbos for her. So I want to know if it's today or tonight. Which should I call? What's his number? I need a cup of water in case I'm going down.
Hello?
Hi, it's Ruben. How are you? Good evening, everybody. I hope that you can hear me. Today, Erev Shabbos, is the yard site of Shamsha Paul Hirsch, and I wanted to start off with a Dvar Torah, an idea, a beautiful concept that my father told me. So we'll start like this. The parasha starts off with a very inspiring idea. It says, "Lakachti eschem l'am." Hashem is going to take us as a nation. "V'yisi lachem l'elokim." Hashem is going to be one with us, and you will know that I am Hashem Elokeichem, Hamotzi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. So we're building up to an incredible moment. Perhaps the greatest moment of all time, the moment that we're going to mention for the rest of our lives, not only on Pesach, but every single day, three times a day, Yetzias Mitzrayim. I don't believe there's anything in the entire Torah that's mentioned more often than Yetzias Mitzrayim. You can think about all the mitzvahs that are recorded that have an association, Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, asher hotzeicha me'eretz Mitzrayim. But then Rav Hirsch comments, and he asks and wonders, why would we go right after Sheni, Eilu Rashei Beis Avotem B'nei Reuven B'chor Yisrael B'nei Shimon B'nei Gershon? What a way to just interrupt with this incredible moment and this drive towards an incredible moment in history. You have to interrupt it with the lineage of Chal Yisrael, B'nei Yaakov, with all the Shvatim. What are we trying to accomplish here? What is the purpose of mentioning all these names? It doesn't seem to fit into the theme of Yetzias Mitzrayim. After all, we already know, and from Bereishis, we know about the Shvatim. So Rav Hirsch, Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch says, very important yesod here. A very important concept. We have to realize that Chal Yisrael was built from human beings, from physical people. People who don't discuss and think about anything other than Tziras Adam, the guf of Adam, the Yitzhahara that goes into a person, the Yitzhah Tov that's in a person, the Bechira that's in a person. We make choices. Our Avodas Hashem, it's our fabric. We're built as real people that come from a father and a mother. You think about the other religions, how it compares to what they believe in and what they're saying and some of the stories that they fabricate. That's not us. That's not Chal Yisrael. Chal Yisrael is real. We come from Basar V'dam. We have to work on ourselves. Hashem put us in this world. We'll see soon. Hashem Ha'aretz U'Malo, to bring Kavod Shemayim here. Through our avoda, we're doing our tachlis, physical people. And who becomes the melech? Who becomes the person who is in charge of Chal Yisrael in the Midbar and in Eretz Yisrael? You would think maybe it should be the firstborn son, grandson, great-grandson. Yet it comes from different Shvatim. It comes from Shevet Levi. It comes from Shevet Yehuda. So from the unexpected, and perhaps we could add, it's from Schos Avos, it's from Siad Dishmaya. Many reasons why a person could be Zocha to have these titles and these responsibilities. So it comes from many different places, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, and Hashem decides who is going to be the one that's going to be the manhig, and when we have that opportunity, we take it. Just as another small point over here, just had a conversation with somebody about putting a picture of a person in an email, creating this realness and this openness. So when you send something, people can see a picture of the person. There's that openness that we are from Yaakov. We have a family tree. We're real. We're not hiding anything. I can't imagine if any president, when he gets up for his first speech, he'd be able to say, you know what? You know who my father is? You know who my grandfather is? You know what he accomplished? And Fakir, we even have currently, we have what we have. And they'd be embarrassed to talk about their mishpachas and where they came from. And if there's any psul in their own children and from their parents. So we're proud. We have a clean slate. We have a clean lineage. We're 100% true. We're authentic. So I think the yisod that we can learn from here is to be proud of who we are and to use this as an opportunity to be in Ovid Hashem with a tremendous amount of excitement and pride of who we are and what we stand for. I'd like to start our shiur with a question. If we could choose one person in the entire Chumash to follow, who would that person be? And the question, just to be a little bit more clear, who would we follow? In other words, who would we look at and study and try to understand their life and say, you know what, this would help me shape my future. If I could study this person, I'll become a better person. Who would that be? So many would jump at this opportunity and say, it's for sure Moshe Rabbeinu. It's for sure Aaron HaKohen. Maybe the Shvatim. Maybe it's Yosef HaTzadik, who went down to Mitzrayim, who had a deal with Golus. Maybe it's Ephraim and Menashe, because they were born in Mitzrayim, and they were steadfast in their Yiddishkeit. Maybe it's Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's Adam Rishon. It's Noach, who is doing chesed for the world, trying to rescue his family and others who wanted to do tshuva. Pinchas, I would like to say, not that my answer is the only answer. Perhaps your answer is better. But my Dvar Torah is based on my thought. I think I would follow Paro. I would watch Paro. I would think about how he behaved. I would watch all of his actions. And I would say, okay, this is Paro. Paro, the middle two letters of Paro, Pei, Resh, Ayin, Hei, is Ra, is evil. What a chesed it is that Hashem gave us Paro. The chesed to have a Paro in our lives, to emulate him, to copy him, in what way? What way can we copy Paro if he's essentially be'emtza, in the middle? The middle of his name is Ra, is evil. So what are we going to do with Paro? I believe that the entire Mesilas Yesharim is based on Paro. The entire Mesilas Yesharim, his whole work is based on what Paro represents. And we'll try to explain this. There's a hiker. He was walking through, maybe he's by the Grand Canyon, and he's with an expert, and he says to the, he's walking, he's on a tour, and he says to this expert hiker, he says, he looks up the tallest mountain. He says, you know, let me ask you a question, Mr. Tour Guide. Hey, you could tell me, how long would it take for a person to get, an expert hiker to get to the top of this mountain? So the tour guide says, the top of that mountain, 17 hours. And then the tour guide says, you know what, I'll tell you something, 17 hours for an expert. But if you weren't an expert, you were an amateur, 21 hours. So then he turns to the tour guide and says, you know, interesting. How about to go down the mountain? So the tour guide says, to go down the mountain for an expert, 11 hours. For a non-expert, 10 seconds. So we're all appreciating this story, and we realize how easy it is to fall. How easy is it to fall? How easy is it not to grow? How easy is it to think that we're getting somewhere, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves at the bottom of the rung again? This is the Paro. This is the Paro that we want to think about and learn from and understand. What's going to help us get to the next Madrigo? And what's going to help us maintain that level?
I was with somebody on Shabbos who I remember from the bungalow colony, and I asked him, he used to play paddleball on Erev Shabbos. So I said, how's your paddleball doing? You're still playing? So he says, yeah, still play, but I haven't gotten any better. So we're talking 15 years ago. He's still playing paddleball, and he has not improved his game one iota. But he still plays. He knows what he can do. He knows what he can't do. And this is who he is. And he's, Baruch Hashem, extremely successful in many, many different ways in Ruchnis and Gashmias. But when it comes to paddleball, he's stagnant. He hasn't moved. He hasn't budged. I once heard, just to, as a similar idea to this, that when people learn an instrument, many people, they start learning an instrument, and they grow, let's say 100% is the best. They grow, let's say, 20% after the first two or three lessons. And then after 2 weeks, they get to that point, and then they fall back, and they go back to zero, let's say, and they go back to, they never get past the 30%. There are certain people who take an instrument, and that's where they're at that point for the rest of their lives. So what is this all about, and how can we avoid this? There's a Gemara in Shabbos that I heard recently from Rabbi Miller, who's somebody they brought in from London, who's becoming a tremendous star in Klal Yisrael. There's a Gemara in Kuf Yutes that says in Shabbos, it says, Amar B'chia Bar Abba. B'chia Bar Abba, a great Amora said, Pamachas Nisarachti Eitzel Balabayis Beludkiya. He once was visiting this house, and the Hivu Lefan of Shulchan Shulzav, they brought him a golden table, a very, very, very wealthy person. Masu Yishisha Asa B'liadam. 16 people had to hold this table. Yishisha Sreish Ashloso, Kesev, Kavuosbo, Ka'oros. If you're going into this beautiful, gorgeous, exquisite house, and you're starting to look around and you see some beautiful things wherever you go. And Olav Kalmini Macho, I skipped a few words. There was some food on the table. Whatever you could, whatever you're interested in, whatever you crave was there. B'chol Mini Megadim and B'samim U'kishaminich Moso Omrim U'Hashem Ha'oretz U'Meloa. So it says over here that in the middle of this table here, they would proclaim Hashem Ha'aretz U'Meloa. So the idea here is that even if a person has all the money in the world and he's all the wealth and he's very, very successful, if in the middle of the table there's a proclamation, I believe the word, there should be a word here, tinokos, there's a tinok that screams in the middle of the table, that says, Hashem Ha'aretz U'Meloa, that saying these words, Hashem Ha'aretz U'Meloa, we have to realize it all comes from the Rebbe, the Shalom. It's all Kaddish Baruch Hu's. So we don't take any ownership. So even if we have something that is very, people are looking at it and they're impressed, maybe they're jealous, we still know that the center, like the Maharal says, that everything in the center is the most important thing. So a person could have a tremendous amount of rich and wealth, but he knows that at the center is Hashem Ha'aretz U'Meloa, that it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. When I was growing up, I was told by my Rabbeim that it's not so healthy to read stories of tzaddikim. Because very often, you get the wrong impression. You think, you're born a tzaddik, they didn't have to work on themselves, they didn't have a yitzhara, but it's not true. Tzaddikim work very hard to become who they become. And we have to realize that the stories of tzaddikim that have to grow, and they have struggles, and they have tests, these are the stories we want to follow. The word, one of the names of the Yitzhahara is Samech Mem Aleph Lamed, Samel. Samel, the Kozenberger Rebbe said, Samel stands for the words, Siyum Mesechtos Ein Lasos. The Yitzhahara hates it when we finish something. He doesn't want us to finish Mesechtos. You have a choice between learning 20 das of Bava Basra of Chelk Sabbatim, one of the hardest Prakim and Shas, or finishing Tainus, it's better to finish something. Because once you go into Bava Basra and you do these hard Mesechtas and these hard Prakim, the Yitar is going to get you. So try to finish something. Try to accomplish something. You want to finish something, you'll feel good about it, it'll give you the koch to continue. I was thinking that we know by creation, Ibriya Sa'olam, it says everything's tov, and there's a Gemara that says when Hashem created the Yitzhar, it's tov mode. What's the pshat that the Yitzhar is called tov mode? Why is the Yitzhar Toshin called tov mode? Why is the Yitzhar called tov mode? I was thinking because the Yitzhar, the Yitzhara is a catalyst for us to get Olam Haba. And anything that gets us Olam Haba is Tov Mode. This is the best. It's working on our Midos, working on our Avodas Hashem, things that are, when we struggle. I just saw today from the Shema Olam, the Chavetz Chaim. He writes there that the Shitzachol Mishantecha, it's the Yisurim that a person receives in this world. And the Torah that we learn, Hemi Nachamuni, that's going to comfort us. So the greatest thing that we have for Olam Haba is our Torah, our mitzvahs, and the Yisurim that come to us. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, I was learning with my Talmidim this year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls the Yitzhar Ra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Yitzhar, he calls it Ra. So why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu call it Ra? What does he mean, he's calling it Ra? Hashem did a bad job. Hashem made a mistake. Calls it Ra. The pshat is Hashem is doing the biggest chesed for us. He's giving us a paro. He's telling us paro is Ra. So whenever you see paro, you think Ra, and you run away from it. You run from the Yitzhar like fire. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling it Ra. It's a chesed. Because he's telling us this is good and this is bad. And now it's clear about what you should do and what you shouldn't do. Hashem didn't say that Hashem created Ra. He calls it Ra. It's a name. It has a name to it. We're living in a world right now where everything is on the internet, where everything's www. It's a world without walls. There's no gevurim. There's no boundaries. There's no midas. There's no measure. Midas is a way to say, like a recipe, some things are good, some things are not good. Too much baking soda, too much salt, too much sugar, too much this, too much that. It's a problem. It's a world without walls. There's no limitations. There was an argument that was taking place in a shul where I davened, where the Baal Tzila was moving at a pretty quick pace. One of the Mespalulim was upset that it was going so fast. So there was a discussion afterwards, should go faster, go slower, and it was a little bit more intense than that. So I was with the Rav of the shul, and I said, what do you think about what's going on? So he said, Chassam Sofer says, Hasam Gevul Yashalom, Chayu Chitim Yasbich, if a person, we say in davening, Hasam Gevul Yashalom, Chayu Chitim Yasbich, if a person has gevulim, he has boundaries. He knows when to get involved in machokas and when to stay out. He knows when, what is the Yitzhara, what is not the Yitzhara, what is right to get involved with, not to get involved with. Hasam Gevul Yashalom, Chayu Chitim Yasbich, you'll be blessed. If a person knows his gevulim, he knows his boundaries, he knows his midas, he knows what he should be doing, what he shouldn't be doing. Everything is measured, how much time he learns, how much time he's having, how much time he's doing in business, how often he's looking at his phone, how often he's checking his emails. If everything has a gevul, then you'll be blessed. You'll have an abundance of parnasa. The Messias Yisharim was made with power in mind. He's dealing with the Yitzhara. That's all he focuses on. This is his tachlis. The tachlis is to make us aware that we have to have zihiros. We have to be aware of what the Yitzhara is doing to us. We spend our whole life. You listen to Rabbi Victor Miller, his svarim, his recordings. his whole premise is that we're in this world to work on our midas and to destroy our evil inclination. When Yaakov was with Lavan, he said, "In Lavan Garti," and some people learn a little differently. Lavan Garti, the Tariq Mitzvah Shemarti, people, he kept the Torah while he was with Lavan, even though he was a tremendous Rasha and he was a Shakran. But he may be saying, "In Lavan Garti," and people have heard this pshat many times. You probably have heard it also. "In Lavan Garti, I was with Lavan. I should have learned from Lavan. I didn't learn from Lavan. Lavan was such, has so much zrizus for his Averis. I wish I had the same zrizus for my mitzvahs." So we have to learn from Lavan. We have to learn from Paro. We have to realize that this is our tachlis, to make sure that we have the excitement for our Avodas Hashem, to work on our midas. In the Turo Synagogue, there's a sign there that says, obviously, you know, this is dating back many, 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 many years, and it says that you come to America, there's a freedom of religion, but the emes is, it's not like that. What we see in America, it's a freedom from religion. It's not a freedom of religion, do whatever you want. It's freedom from, you don't have to be anything. You can do whatever you want. Shiva Shabbatamuz, we all know that the walls of Yishayim were breached. Well, that was the same day of July 4th, 1776. There was a breach. There was a breach in Gavul. There was a breach in our in Midas. There was a breach in humanity. When on July 4th, the whole world opened up to a new type of world of America. There's no Gavul. You can do whatever you want. Chanukah is Paras Chaymas Migdalai. That was the Chanukah. Chanukah is Paras Chaymas Migdalai. The walls were breached open. We were living in an insular way. We were living by ourselves. We were like in that ghetto-like feeling. The Chanukah was part of Chamas Migdalai. Everything was wide open. There's once a person in Muncie on 306 who got out of his car, opened the door a little bit to see something on the road, and out of the back seat came the most beautiful poodle. Just jumped out of the car. The door was open slightly. And the poodle was running around Muncie. And some boys saw the poodle. It became a big story that a poodle was missing. And boys in different yeshivas saw the poodle and reported it to the Rebbe. Why? Why did this person lose his $5,000, $10,000 poodle? Because the door is open. But the door opens up a little bit. You open up the door a little bit, it's over. It's the hiker. Inexperienced, you go straight down. We have to be careful that our doors remain closed. We have to be careful. We have to know what that door represents, what's behind the door. The Gra says, "A pesach chatos roves." At the entrance, the Yetzirah lurches, crouching, ready to jump, right at the Pesach. We have to think, what does it mean, that Pesach? The Pesach, the opening. We have a little bit of an opening, a little crack, and we had a routine, and we had a certain schedule, and then we open it up a little bit, and we say, you know, let's give it. We don't have to learn today. We don't have to daven today. We don't have to... We can miss something. We can miss a Seder. We can miss an appointment. But that's where it all starts. But Pesach Chatos Rovi, it's a crack. We're in the parashias of Va'era, and we know that Paro said, Tichba de Savoda, make it heavier, make it heavier. This is what we're going through. Tichba de Savoda. We wake up. Back in the days, we used to wake up to a radio, clock radio. And now we wake up to email notifications and go to sleep with emails and this and that. And the whole day we're bombarded with messages, and everybody knows what they have, what they're going through, what they have to deal with. But this is the pshat. Tich bar asavoda. Paro said, let's make it harder for them. And that's what the Yitzhar is doing to us. He's making it really shigar for us. He's making it very, very difficult. So we have to set up gevulim. We have to know, you know what? The Yitzhar is out to just bombard our lives, get into our minds constantly, fill it up with everything that but important matters, and we have to be aware of it, and we have to have some gevul shalom. We have to have a gevul. We have to have boundaries. We have to know what's right and what's wrong and where we could go, where we can't go. I was talking to somebody last Friday, and he's on the board of yeshiva in the New York area, and his wife was next to him, and I said, I give you a lot of credit that your husband's helping the yeshiva financially in different ways. So she also teaches in the school. So I said, you know, everything that you're, I'm sure it's better, easier for you, because since your husband is helping out, all the money that he's raising and giving is helping you and where you're working. So she said, with boundaries. I have to be with boundaries. I was thinking, everything has Shivim Panama Torah. There's so many ways to interpret a Pasuk, a Gemara. And I know that Tom Derech Eretz is something that's been discussed for forever. I thought of a pshat this morning, and I mentioned it to Rav Yochanan Wozner, and he thought it was a nice idea. What does Torah Derech Eretz possibly mean? When you think about a business, you think about a big company, you think about a Forbes 500 company, they have goals. There's organization. They've figured out many different things that could go wrong, how they're going to fix problems, how they're going to, they have a schedule, they have, everybody's on the same page, aside from other things that the business has to do. But they have gevurim. They know there's protocol. What to do when a customer says this, what to do when he says that, what happens if you send something, you make a mistake. Everything is a protocol to everything. So if we would have a protocol for everything, and we would set up our day, what's going to happen if I miss my Seder today? So let's say I miss Shacharis, so what am I going to do next? I'm diving at home. But that's because you're waiting for the last second. But if we would have something set up in our systems where we know when we're davening and what happens if we can't make it on time and to our Seder, to an appointment with whatever it is, if we would operate with Torah the way Lavan and Paro dealt with their worlds and their countries and their minds, then everything would have a system. Paro, Hilo Yimachshimo, these people had systems. Everything was to the T. Everything was done with perfection. So we have to use their mindsets in a healthy way, in a positive way, in a Torahic way, and set up our day. I sometimes say to myself, the most successful days that a person can have is if he makes a schedule for himself at the beginning of the day, what is he going to do from 6 o'clock in the morning until he goes to sleep at night? If he writes a schedule, not only does he have a schedule that he says, okay, this is my month schedule. Every single day he writes a schedule, what he's going to do, and he follows it. It's easy to follow. You check it off and you feel good about yourself. At the Torah Masorah convention, there were some parents who were very frustrated, and they mentioned to the panel, and they said, to say it bluntly, they're a little bit fed up that some children are held to the same standard as the Mitzuyonim in the classroom. The Mitzuyonim are told that if you have to finish a certain Masechta by the time you bar mitzvah, and you have to know a certain amount of Baal Peh. And Rambam used to say that these children go nowhere when you're holding them on such a high pedestal. And you tell them that they have to finish Mishnayos and whatever it is. He didn't see any gedolim coming from these children. But what happens is the other children who are not accomplishing anything, they feel so bad. Like they're not worth anything, because the only thing that makes you worth anything in this world is if you finish something, you're Messiah. And the opposite is true. The effort is what counts. Like Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at the Hasmada. Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at your Yigiya and how much you could accomplish and what are you trying to do to get there. So we have to come with a new mindset. These parashas are teaching us Pesach Chatas Roveis. The Yetzer Hara is waiting for any opportunity, and we have to prepare. We have to prepare like it's like a business, as it has a business model. We learned in this week's parasha about Yosef goes through all the like I mentioned before from Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch, and it mentions that Elazar ben Aaron lokach b'bnei putiel. Rashi says, "Benos Putiel, who's this? Mizera Yisrael, Shapitim Agoma Vodazara, Mizera Yosef. This is an anacle from Yosef, Shapitpeit Yisrael. He was handling with his Yetzer. He was, I don't know the exact definition of pitpeit, but he handled with it. He dealt with it. He thought about it. He had to confront it. So this is what we're learning. It's not something like the Yetzer Hara is there. He gets you. Sometimes he doesn't get you. It's a luck of the draw. It depends on your mood. It's not about your mood. It's about confronting it, dealing with it, making sure it's a reality. Doug Hoberman, the Rosh Hashiva in Long Beach, said that if he hesitated saying this. He didn't want to say it Barabbim. But he did sneak it in and said, if a person doesn't learn Musa every single day, then he's not so sure where he's holding as a Yid. So we have to, why? Because without a Musa Seder, without working on our Midas, we're not anything. If a person learns all day and he's going to Olam and he knows Shas inside out, but he doesn't have the right Midas, it's not worth anything. So the Yitzhara hates success. He hates success, as we said about a Siyam, that Samel is Siyam Mesechta saying Lasos. All the Yitzhar wants to do is make sure we don't finish a Mesechta, we don't finish, make our goals, and we don't finish our goals. And he wants us to focus on the peripheral. He doesn't want us to focus on the middle of the table where the voice is saying Hashem Ha'aretz Tzimlo, to focus on the Yitzhar Tov, to focus that everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu is taking us out of this Yetzias Mitzrayim. He's the one that brings the Geula. Why Moshe? Because Moshe's Torah. I was thinking, if Paro is the Yitzhara, Moshe Rabbeinu is the Torah, then it fits in beautifully in the Gemara and Kiddushin, Daf Lamed and Beis. Barati Yitzhara, Barati Torah Tavlin. I've created the Yitzhara, and I've created Torah as a Tavlin, as a way to anecdote, to heal, or to fix the situation. Moshe Rabbeinu represents Torah, and the way to get to fix this problem is by immersing ourselves in Torah as much as we can, with the mindset that we're fixing ourselves. There's a pasuk we were saying a few weeks ago, Amal Chagol Al-Sin Korah, Yivorech Es HaNa'arim, the middle of Na'arim is Ra, is evil. If you take out the word Ra, go back to the pasuk here. At the end of the pasuk, it says, "B'shem Avosayu." Hamalach Hagol Al Simakara Yivarech Hasanarim Yikari Bahem Shemi. The Shemi, when you take out the Ra, you're left with the word Shemi. My name comes out when you remove evil. When you take out the word, the letters Ra, you're left with Shemi, and this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So taking out the Yitzhara from our lives and dealing with it and confronting it and crushing it and destroying it allows us to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and makes us into a complete person. With that, I'd like to end and give everybody a bracha, and myself, my own mishpacha, we should have the kochos to deal and to understand how the Yitzhar works. Why the Mesil Sashom says, Meshes Chachma Yiras Hashem. Dealing with the Yitzhar is Chachma Yiras Hashem. We think Chachma is Torah, is Tosas, is the Mishodim, the Achronim. But Reishis Chachma, the greatest chachma is Yiras Hashem, because a person has to know when the door is opening, when there's a crack, and he has to be so vigilant, and he has to be so aware, and he has to ask so many eitzos from people. How did he deal with the Yitzhara? It requires tremendous chachma. So with that, we should have a life filled with conquering and destroying our Yitzhara to allow us to become a tremendous Ovi Hashem. Have a good Shabbos, Kol Tov.